I have the hands of Honourable Mulder, Honourable McPherson, Honourable Tring, Honourable Mbuyani, Honourable Moatse, Honourable Malamecha, Honourable Mutaung, and Honourable Tuaku. So in that order, Honourable Mulder.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And also a good morning, colleagues, Deputy Minister, DDG, Mrs. Phipps, all the stakeholders. There's lots to be said about the sugar industry. Honourable Minister Patel has answered some questions last week and Wednesday in Parliament during a questions session. We could have a look at the situation that Eskom is actually causing with instable inability to provide constant electricity, the floods, of course, the unrest last year, July, in KZN. But I wish to concentrate on one thing, to be short. Some other countries, Eswatini and areas, and also the deep sea risk imports, and then especially the sugar imports from Mauritius, the threat there. The question I want to ask is, one should be realistic that there are lots of external factors that influences the sugar industry that it can't help for. The sugar industry can only do what they can do. But we have got a situation of wages versus economic growth as well. My question would be, what is Mauritius doing, for instance? I know they've got different circumstances. But how do the deep sea countries and Mauritius, for instance, and Eswatini, how do they manage to be able to export sugar to South Africa, which actually holds a threat to us? I think we should take note of it and have a look at what they are doing and how we can adapt to avoid that or to get all the obstacles out of the way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable McPherson.
Thanks so much, Chair. Just on a lighter note, when I heard Mrs. Phipps in a committee meeting, it was like deja vu. Sort of had a flash of deja vu from sort of three years ago. In a good way. So that's just on a lighter note. And let me then just say that I think from the outset that we all have to appreciate what the immense impact, good or bad, that this industry can have on the economy. And being a member of Parliament from KZN, I understand the industry somewhat because I've grown up amongst the sugar fields. My what used to be a small town, which is now sort of a growing city almost, sugar and sugar cane and sugar farming has been a very real part of our lives for a very long time. And so I think that there has to be cross-party support for real plans and programs that look to advance the industry in total, as opposed to sort of certain players or certain sections of the industry. And that's really what I want to approach my inputs with, Chair, if I may. Because I think that, as someone very aptly put to me, is while the master plan is good and there is, there's good parts of the master plan, master plans are only developed after a crisis developed and don't really deal with some of the big issues, the underlying issues. They sort of deal with the symptoms and not the cause. And I think we need to start delving into the cause of some issues that exist within sugar. And there's no doubt in my mind, Chair, that one of the long outstanding, maybe more than a decade, has been the issue of diversification. And we've spoken about this in the previous parliament. We've spoken about this in this parliament. I raised it last Wednesday in the question sessions with the minister. We continue to outsource responsibility to minerals and energy, when in fact, it's actually a regulatory issue. That is actually what it needs to be. It says we don't need to develop new legislation. We just need to deal with regulation. And that's what I don't understand, is why is it so particularly difficult for us to ensure that that takes place? And you know, we just keep outsourcing it to minerals and you say, well, you know, it's their issue to deal with. And it's almost like ministers in this government sit in different governments. They don't sit in the same cabinet. They don't speak to each other. Officials don't speak to each other. It's truly bizarre. And I think, Chair, that this committee needs to seize itself and say, by when do we want this issue resolved? Because unless we do, we're going to keep being given the runaround by officials and ministers. And we really need to have concrete answers to that. Because the economics is just not going to make sense as time goes by. One of the other issues, Chair, that I think we have also had many discussions about, but you know, we see this sort of schizophrenic approach to deal with it, is around the health promotion levy. Now, I have particularly strong views in opposition to the HPL, because if it was a health issue, that money would be ring-fenced for the health budget, but it's not. It is for the general revenue fund. And so it is nothing other than a cash cow for government at the expense of the industry and workers. And we know at the last count that it cost the industry over R1 billion and a few thousand jobs. And so we've never been presented with anything that shows what is, you know, further job losses, what is the further cost to the economy. We have no idea what evidence was used, in fact, to determine the suitability of a sugar tax. And we, again, we need to seize ourselves with this issue because, again, the department say, well, it's a healthcare issue, it's a treasury issue, and it's, again, it's like no one sits in the same cabinet. And I think that that is a huge, huge problem that is just not receiving the kind of attention that it needs to. But for, and this is my last point, if I may, Chair, is that the industry, I think, is on a precarious edge at the moment, and it can go either way. And without a focus on increasing capacity across the various sectors of the industry, whether it is diversification, whether it is milling, and we've heard that milling is an important part, and there's a surplus we now know of 2 million tons that can't be milled or can't be crushed by the mills. You know, unless we deal with those problems, this industry is going to be a sunset industry and not a sunrise industry. And that would be a terrible, terrible thing for my province, my constituents, and the country at whole. And so I really implore us, Chair, and the one thing I've always said, I'm greatly impressed by your hands-on approach, by your attention to detail, and your willingness to deal with issues, is that this committee has to take this in, has to take these matters into our own hands, because it's clear to me that the departments are unwilling to do so. They fob us off, they give us every reason why they can't have a discussion, or why they can't deal with it within their own departments. It's clear that there is interministerial divergence on these issues, and that's a problem. And so I really ask, Chair, that we take this on and we become the champions of it with the different role players. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Thring.
Thank you, Chair. Certainly also it was good to hear the voice of Mr. Swabs. It takes me way back to 2013 when I sat on the Trade and Industry Portfolio Committee for a brief period. So really good to see that she's sounding strong and healthy. And I certainly hope that she is. Chair, like Mr. Honourable McPherson, I too have grown up within the sugar area. My family is from the Stanga area, which is still sugarcane area. My members of my family were managers within the mills or supervisors within the mills, and one is now still working within the sugar industry, but in the Taiwan area. And so within the family, there's also this history with regards to the sugar industry. And so it is somewhat close to our to my heart, having grown up also within the greater Durban area, Stanga, and then coming down to Durban. But just maybe four or so questions. The first is with respect to diversification of biofuels. Diversification biofuels, looking at other value chains, what are the impediments? This is a question to the department. What are the impediments and how can these impediments be dealt with? So removing those impediments to ensure that we can fast track towards diversification. Secondly, I think the sugar tax or the HPL has had an impact on the sugar industry, causing previous buyers of sugar to move to alternatives. So does the department support, and I've heard there's a call for a moratorium on the HPL, the sugar tax. And so does the department support this call? And are there talks with our sister departments like Treasury to look at the mitigating the effects of legislation, you know, the HPL legislation on the sugar industry. And then what is the third question? What is the role of the beverage industry in supporting the sugar industry? Because I think because of the HPL, many of your beverage industries have moved to alternates to sugar. And some of those alternatives that they are using are far more harmful than sugar itself. So what is the role of the beverage industry? What are the discussions? And I've heard that Coca-Cola is looking at taking purchasing, particularly with your small scale growers and purchasing from them. But are there other beverage industries besides Coca-Cola that are looking at supporting the sugar industry? And then finally, the Sugar Act legislation. Many have indicated that this is still an apartheid type legislation because it goes way back to the 1960s or 70s, and it's in need of amendment. And what progress is there looking at that type of legislation that needs to be amended? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Singh. Honourable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. Chair, let me also welcome the presentation. It's very much comprehensive. And also acknowledge Ms. Fass, our former chair of the committee. Chairperson, let me start with the small-scale growers. They need more assistance than any other growers in this field. And also the issues around the daily rateable deliveries. Can this be clarified or explained? What is this process? How can we be able to rate the deliveries on a daily basis? Whilst we know exactly that in terms of the transformation agenda, this is not possible. Is there any way that you can manage this process of rateable deliveries, or we do away with it? Because it brings challenges to the small-scale groups. Chair, there's a serious need to review the Sugar Act. I agree with the latter speaker, our pastor there. We need to review this Sugar Act. We cannot be able to be managed by this law of 1978 while we're dealing with transformational agenda. seriously, and if you can look, Chairperson, this forms part of the legacy report of this committee. We need to really review and check where are we in terms of implementing this committee legacy report, in terms of reviewing the text. The other one, Chair, is the regulation that we introduced to allow for transformation. Can we be clarified whether this regulation is temporary or is permanent? After this, what is going to happen? We still have to review again, and what is transformation? The transformation is minimal or is temporary, or it's a permanent transformation. Then that we need to get clarity on that one as well. There's a matter, Chair, that we also really need to have look at it. The issues of joint committee meeting with this department. We have a Department of Health, which is part of these issues, Department of Finance, which is part of these issues, and the Department of Agriculture with regard to the issue of the sugar tax. We really need to have a joint committee meeting where we'll be able to understand and get more clarity as to what is it that we want to achieve in terms of the Sugar Promotion Act or the Sugar Act or the Health and the Department of Agriculture. Chair, it is most important for us to have interdepartmental because we need to work together. This is one government. There's no way we can leave these departments working in silos while we're in one government. It is imperative, Chairperson, to co-govern, because really now we're dealing with these matters of sugar tax and so forth as one department. But there are a lot of departments that must be aligned to this one, including finance, including health, and so forth. The achievement by the master plan value chain is acceptable, Chairperson, but it cannot be eroded by other departments in working in silos. The other one, let me welcome the invitation by the cane growers for oversight. And also interested, man, in knowing how many persons with disabilities that they have, and also check how many hectares they manage there as small growers. And maybe the last one is the issue of diversification. Let me agree for the first time with the Honorable McPherson. We have been speaking about this matter for a very long time. Can we check and have what is the timeline and what is the committee that is doing in dealing with this matter? Because really we cannot talk of diversification for forever. We must have timelines. When are we going to see this diversification done? Because we must also be able to be measured in actual progress as to where are we and what is it that we want to achieve in terms of this diversification process. I'll pause there for now. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moase.
Thank you very much, Chair. Climate change poses a serious threat to the environment and livelihoods. If the flood in KZN are anything to go by, has the department done a analysis of how climate change will impact the sugarcane industry? And Chair, what happened? What proactive measures are being employed to protect the industry moving forward? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malamacha.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take this opportunity to follow suit and welcome the presentation.
Just hold on, Honorable Moatse, please mute.
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you may continue.
Okay, I want to make it upfront that I've got a serious problem of network. Should I not be audible and I'm disturbing the meeting, you can post. However, there are a few questions that I want to raise. It will start by saying, as much as we will desire that the neighboring states, if not countries such as Sutherland, is doing good in terms of the sugar plantation and the sugar growing, importing, parties must start to realize and understand that there is a need in South Africa of the release of land. That is why we come and again and say, let's work together to release the land, in particular the land that is in the hands of the few who are not necessarily utilizing it. The day we agree to release that land and make this activity fashionable is the day we will beat the Swaziland and other countries. But as long as we still politicize the issue of land, when we say let's release land because we are not utilizing it, whatever condition we give, let's grow the economy. I think that will be the day we stop admiring other countries because we are more capable. And one was also touched to realize that the sister department by Togodi Diza is also coming in. But we are pushing to say other political parties be ready to work with her when we say we want this portion of land to do the following so that we do good. Comrade Chair, the other question that I really want to pose is the Competition Commission, its economic concentration report has noted that there's a broader participation on a small-scale sugar grower who are mainly black. However, most sugarcane is delivered by a small percentage of farmers, the majority of whom are whites. What has been done to correct this to include broader participation of the black people? Exactly what I said, comrade. That will be my question. Then the last question, Chairperson, will be considering the commencement, the commencement of the African Continental Free Trade Area and the opportunity it presents. What are the interlinkages that are being utilized to the creation of value chain across the continent as it relates to the sugarcane production, notwithstanding that the rule of origin of the Africa did not include the sugar? Thank you very much, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malamacha. Honorable Motaung.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me join the members who have just welcomed the report. I'm partly covered by Honorable Mbuyani. I have only one question. Chairperson, I noted that 19,188 black sugarcane growers have been supported to the tune of 44 million. What has been the impact of this grant to these farmers and how many jobs have been created? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motaung. Honorable Tswaku.
Honorable Tswaku, have raised his questions, Chair.
I'm here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. And let me greet my members and also the stakeholders that are here. Chairperson, I think that, let me agree with my comrade there, Comrade Mbuyan, and also Comrade Mama Malej. I think that I thought that maybe I was in some EFF meeting somewhere and said these comrades are giving actually very revolutionary and very good inputs in terms of always siding with the poor and also siding to those who are weak. And the issue of the, I wanted to check, number one, the issue of these daily deliveries, because the way I understand them is that they're actually benefiting those who are large scale, the producers of these, canes and all of that. But now, what about the small scale farmers? If you have a large mill, why don't you say, okay, I've got small scale farmers. Let me go and get a small a meal, because you can get those in India and somewhere in China as well. You can put them there so that they don't have to wait for their turn and maybe wait and all this kind of stuff like that. But we need to look, and this committee, I think that it must take a decision that it instructs the department that you look, go and do a search in terms of the smaller meals for the small scale farmers. So they don't have to wait and wait and wait for, you know, so that they can actually meal their stuff. It's something very simple. Those comrades there in the DTI, what are they there for? There are, you know, the researchers there who can actually, this is something very simple. When I was told about this thing, I'm like saying, okay, but why don't you go and get a small meal? Why have to wait for a bigger meal and wait and wait and wait and wait? So it's actually counter, you know, it's actually counter, you know, revolutionary, this thing. And also it's sabotaging small-scale farmers, especially black, and it cannot be allowed. It must never be allowed. The time frame, Chair, there's a very colorful, this presentation coming from DTIC, a very colorful and extremely wordy. Now, but when you look and think, but okay, sharp, what are the time frames? They don't come back with concrete time frames. This is an activity. This is what we're going to achieve by when. So we're going to be circulating and circulating, Chair. I've seen many of these. It looks like it's a trend. Maybe they want to confuse us or something. Maybe they think that maybe we don't read. Maybe that's why I get, you know, the document a day before, or maybe on the day of the presentation. Because you try to find yourself, what are they talking about? And question is, do they actually know what they're talking about? Or maybe is it full of some excuses? Because their presentation don't have time frames, Chair. And I know that this thing has been circulating for years now. Why can it not get finished? Maybe we must put it on their, on their APP. One of the APPs that will finalize whatever you are doing, this sugar thing is not this master plan. Another one, Chair. Can they do an impact study on the sugar tax on the small scale? I'm interested on the small scale farmers. What impact will this sugar tax have on the small scale farmers there? And maybe they can come back to us. I agree with my comrade there that let us probably get other departments a joint meeting to present in terms of what do they seek to achieve about this actual tax, all the, you know, the treasury, the health, and all the kind of stuff like that. I agree with that. Maybe we can have that meeting so that we can caucus and say, this is what we want to achieve, and like that. Like maybe we can find a place where maybe we can meet with each other. I don't know, Chair. Does the department actually understand biofuels? Where do you use, where does the sugar maybe come into the biofuels and all of that? Do you understand the complexity of biofuels? Now, what I know, maybe they can correct me. You take that sugar cane and make molasses or something like that. And then from there, you actually ferment it. When you ferment it, you form what is called bioethanol. Now, that bioethanol can be used as an octane booster for the fuel. Now, if you understand, if you read many articles on biofuels, there are many companies or motor industry sectors, BMW, whatever, all of them, they're actually not keen to sign a warranty on the fuels which are boosted with bioethanol. Now, and then also other industries have a problem with the bioethanol, if I still remember my literature very well. Now, question is, are you fundraising an excuse? Is there a fundraising of excuse of not completing this sugar master plan? Is this another delaying tactic, and or maybe you are putting something in the works? Understand the biofuels. What is it? What is it actually? You know, so you must understand those kind of things. And because I see people throwing words of biofuel, bio year, I'm like, do these people understand that this is a very complex issue? Extremely very complex. So, and then there was a moratorium on the government because they said that you cannot use food grade stuff for the fuel. There was a white paper or a green paper that was issued way back about 10 years ago. Nothing is happening on biofuels. Dream on. Nothing is probably going to be happening anytime soon. And the approval of using those things into fuels and everything, dream on. Not going to happen for now. BMW, we're not going to issue a warrant on their cars to be to be spiked with that you know, the bioethanol. Comrade Umalecha, I agree with him. Expropriate the land, release the land. There's a lot of land there that is not being used. People, there's acres and acres of land. And I don't want to call them out, because in the next meeting, if they're actually trying to deal with the black farmers, we'll actually call them out. This, you know, a issue in the sugar industry, dealing with black farmers and actually dealing with black people, is going to come to a stop, because I actually got very serious news about in terms of how black people are being sabotaged in terms of this industry. It's actually, it's not very nice. It's not, you know, because, you know, 26 years down the line, after this democracy, we're not expecting people to act in a manner that are going to be, discriminating, you know, black in the industrialist. So we must release the land. You know, that issue of expropriation of land without compensation for the benefit of public, it must be done. So if you're saying that in the constitution is there, practice it. Because it says, yes, exploiting without public, you know, a thing is, exploiting the land without compensation for public use. So that land is for public use. You got black farmers who want land and small-scale farmers. By the way, small-scale farming, Chair, to be honest with you, it has been proven that it's one of the ways of creating massive employment. So if this committee is not on the side of the small-scale farmers, we are wasting our time saying that we want to create jobs and all of that. So we must put weight on supporting small-scale farmers and do everything in our power to inject money and ensure that they are operating in the industry. So I agree with my good comrade, the Mumalecha, expropriate that land, give it for use. We can plant. Most of these things, there's no skills. There's no skills here, what. We can plant these things. Let us get the land so that we're able to have more scale farmers. More scale farmers, more massive job people are going to be employed. That's my contribution for now. But I hope that we will actually have more chance to really have a workshop. We must have a workshop so that, and the minister must stop this thing of presenting and running away here. Because he just addresses us here and then he runs away. So we must have time that we can address him and tell him, hey, my man, when are you going to finish 1, 2, 3, and 4 and commit? Was he addressed this year and say, hey, sorry, I have to go somewhere like that. I have to go. I'm addressing in the car now. But I respect this committee because I have my constitutional duty. So he mustn't come here and then do the introduction and then runs away here, because we want to get his commitment. When is he going to do this and finalize all these issues? Because there's no job here. People there, you know, we have a bloodbath. And this committee is supposed to be creating jobs and finishing things. But we're circulating around and getting all this kind of stuff like that. Thank you very much, Chair. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tswaku. Just by way of correction, I don't think the department can be held responsible for you getting late documents. You said that will be sorted out by the secretariat. Also, the minister did come to the committee, did give us the reason why he's leaving, and it was accepted by the portfolio committee. Nobody tabled any objection to that. So the department is very able and the ministry is very ably represented in this meeting by DM Gina. DM, over to you, and then I will ask you then to, together with your team, answer the questions raised by members. Over to you, DM Gina.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much even for the comments, because most the others were mostly comments on the presentation and the discussions that you are having today on the sugar industry and also the questions that have been raised. Chair and the members of the committee, one thing that I will say, as the department we pride ourselves with when it comes to this industry, is the high level of the relationship and the working relations that we have with the role players in this industry. Hence, we have even had some of our role players even presenting, yes, we might be having challenges we might be raising challenges, but there are so many things that we are saying together. What is it that we do to make sure that when it comes to this industry, of which we all understand it's one of the very important industries contributing a lot in the economy of the country, but what are the things that we do together in making sure that we transform the industry, we go through the challenges together that the industry might be faced with. Like the question of the issue of diversification, there is no way where department is imposing to say this is how we need to diversify and so forth and so forth. But we sit together with the role players, we sit together with the experts that are working within the industry in making sure that those are the discussions, and we are saying what is it that we can do as a country in making sure that when we want to change the image, when we want to change the plight that the sugar industry is faced with, together we do that. So some of the questions are really, and the comments, yes, we really agree, we take them, but we must clarify that issue as to say there is nowhere where we are saying, yes, the department really, we just run and we lead and we leave behind the role players in the industry. We are having a lot, as we are saying, now and again, we even have the executive oversight committees where we have open, brutal and honest discussions when it comes to the ways that we can change the industry. At the end, where we're all focusing at the issues of a transformation and what is it that we want to do to make sure that we change the blight, we change the way industry is being perceived and the challenges that we look at, we are faced with as the industry. Same thing that as it comes to the issue of land. Yes, it might not be the competency of trade, industry and competition, but we know that you are highly affected when it comes to that. That is why as the department also, we even take part in the ministerial task team, the committee that deals with the issue of land. Even before the end of this month, we are led by the deputy president of the country. Even before the end of this month, we are going to be having the land indaba, because that is where we all agree that it forms the collarbone and the cornerstone of the economy of the country. So there's so much that we hope and believe we are going to be getting out of that indaba, where all the stakeholders, traditional leadership, parties, industries, different industries, we are going to be part of that.
We've lost DM Gina, or is it my network?
I don't think so, Chair. I think that we have lost...
She's still there. I'm having questions. Then, when it comes to the issues of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, the questions around the issues of SACO and so forth, Claudie? We'll be leading in addressing those questions. Then UDDG Lerato will come in and we'll sum up at the end. Let us lead like that. Nomisa, can you come in?
Was it muted?
No.
Minister.
Yes, Deputy Minister, good morning. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Deputy Minister and all protocol observed. I must just indicate that in terms of the implementation of this master plan, we have put in place a team of expertise to lead, I think, the issues, very important issues that have been raised by the members. And those issues are being addressed in terms of, the different task teams. And as I try to respond to some of the questions, I would request, with your permission, Honorable Chair, to bring along the convener of some of these task teams to give more focus to the work in terms of the work of the different task teams who are sort of dealing with, I think, the crucial issues that have been raised by the members of this portfolio committee. To start first with the questions from Honorable Mulder, I think there's a question around the issue around Mauritius. as well as Eswatini. I think that question relates mostly, I think, to the increase in imports, especially from Eswatini, and also the fact that the Mauritius has requested an increased quota access in terms of, access to the domestic market. So that issue already, in terms of task team number one of the master plan, which is dealing with SACO harmonization, is on the table. I think there's a position regarding the Mauritius demands for increased quota access, which has been developed for government approval. So we are indeed quite aware of that threat in terms of imports. But at the same time, the issue around Eswatini, honorable members, is indeed a big issue in terms of imports from Eswatini. Hence, we have, I think, development proposal for engagement with Eswatini. And that proposal will be tabled at the Cyber Council of Ministers, and, which is looking at the proposal for the long term, so which mainly to look at the harmonization program between the two countries instead of, you know, the two big producing countries competing with each other. And some of the issues that we are dealing with in terms of that mentality is mainly around the regional value chain, the regional integration in terms of the sugar trade or sugar value chain. So indeed, that means Honorable Malta is on top of the agenda in terms of harmonization, number one. In terms of exports, I want to give it to Judith, but that indicates that sugar exports...
Can you just move closer to the microphone? Because I think you're turning your head and so you're losing you from time to time. Thank you.
Apologies, honorable members. The issue around the exports, I must indicate that we've got Judith Wilson, who is going to, as well as CISO, who are responsible for the external affairs of the sugar industry. But I must indicate that in terms of the EU market, the industry has been always able to utilize the whole quota, and we are talking about almost 150,000 tons of sugar that has been exported free. At the same time, we've managed also to utilize the US quota. We are talking about almost 22,000 tons of sugar that has been exported to the US, including, by the way, the sugar that has been exported to some of the SADC countries. Judith, can I give it to you there just to give more context in terms of the current exports? But I must indicate that the sugar that we're exporting currently, we're exporting at a loss due to depressed, world prices of sugar. Judith, can I give it to you with your permission, honorable member, as well as CISO, before I can move to the next questions?
Okay, Ms. Wilson.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you for the opportunity of responding in support of Namisa on Honorable Mulder's question. I think that the question really related to why does it seem that other countries are able to produce sugar so inexpensively and on that basis exported to South Africa below South Africa's cost of production. And I think to be clear, the world market of sugar is a surplus market. So in fact, no sugar producer in the world is selling export sugar at the price that they that it costs them to produce it. People are selling export sugar, so these are countries such as Brazil, India, the big exporters, are selling at prices well below what it costs them to produce that sugar. And this is largely because they have other subsidies and other support that's available to them within their countries. Those subsidies can be export subsidies, which are direct subsidies given to them by their governments to promote their agricultural exploits, as is the case in India, or in the case of Brazil, where there's a co-program with ethanol, where there is subsidization in terms of the total revenue received through ethanol production for the cane producers. So it is a very challenging market to operate in, and most and almost all producer home markets are protected by a tariff, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to sell sugar in their own home market. So just to explain that, I think in terms of Eswatini and Mauritius, both of those organized countries' sugar industries were set up on the basis of their ability to be able to export to the European Union. And they were able to do this at very remunerative prices. Over the last 7 years or so, those prices have fallen dramatically. And so those countries have now turned their attentions to more local markets where they could try to sell their extreme volumes of excess sugar. For example, Eswatini produces between 700 and 800,000 tons of sugar, but only uses about 60,000 tons of that themselves. The rest is for exports and traditionally was sold into very remunerative EU markets. Now it's being channeled to a large extent into the South African market, which is challenging for us. And so just to make that clear, that the cost at which sugar is exported, or the price that export sugar is sold at, is in no way indicative of what it costs to produce it. And in fact, South Africa is amongst the top 25 most cost-effective cane producers, or sugar producers of sugar from sugar cane. And in the world, of over 120 producers of sugar, we are amongst the most inexpensive producers. Unfortunately, the dynamics of the world market and this heavy overload of sugar in the world create a situation where sugar is sold or dumped below its cost of production. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you very much. Who is the next person, Honourable Charlie? Sorry, not Honourable, sorry, Ms. Charlie.
Thanks, Chair. I think we covered the in terms of the questions from Honourable Mulder. Then we can move to the questions from Honourable McPherson. I think there are three questions there. The one that deals with the regulations, especially the diversification regulations, and then there's a question that deals with health issues. I think the frustrations around there. And then the whole biofuels, framework. Just to indicate that in terms of the regulations, we have commenced with that work, if you remember, members, I think years back. And now we have the transitional arrangements in place in terms of the sugar regulations, which are expiring in the next 2 years. So those regulations, they don't include the sort of the downstream diversification products. So we are, in terms of the master plan process, looking at amendments of the regulations to accommodate the diversification, products like the biofuels, program, to accommodate bioplastics, and so on and so forth. So that work is being, championed by the SASA, which is South African Sugar Association. South African Sugar Association, but it has just, commenced. We're waiting for the inputs from all the task teams, the 10 task teams, so as to make sure that when we start the amendments, we've considered all the amendments related to both the upstream as well as the downstream diversification. So, but at the same time, I must indicate that there is a biofuels framework that has been approved by the cabinet, and in place we've got the biofuels task team, which is looking mainly at the diversification, downstream diversification, especially when you look at the bioethanol, program. So, and the main issues there in terms of, diversification support is mainly the two subsidies that we are proposing, which is the subsidy for farmers as well as the manufacturing subsidy to support the farmers, mainly using sugarcane as a feedstock in terms of the biofuels program. But the biggest challenge is to make sure that NT is able to sort of provide the sort of the capital that is needed to set up some of the infrastructure in relation to the biofuels program. So we're still on an engagement with the National Treasury around the biofuels and subsidies to ensure that diversification is actually indeed in place in South Africa. As you know, that the biggest countries like Brazil, they've moved ahead in terms of the bioethanol program. So we want to follow the suit in that regard, so that the industry is not only focusing in one revenue stream, which is mainly the sugar. They can look at other revenue stream, more importantly, the ethanol program. But that goes hand in hand with the cost. So we need to make sure that there is subsidy involved in terms of supporting those interventions. As Judith has indicated, that Brazil and India, they are heavily subsidized countries. So we really need to look at that in order for us to be in full scale in terms of the biofuels program. The issues around the health promotion levy, I must indicate that this is a very complex, policy of government, because we're looking at the balance in terms of the health, needs of our communities versus, of course, the growth of the sugar industry. And I must indicate what is appreciative for us is that when we sort of requested for an intervention in terms of the exemption around the increase in the sugar tax in the first 3 years of the implementation of the health of the sugar master sugar value chain master plan, the treasurer managed to hear us. As a result, the industry has been exempted in terms of the increase in the sugar taxes over the first three years of the implementation. But there's still a lot of engagements that we have to do. Hence, I think asking number 7, which is looking at the sugar policy, is dealing with those issues. Can I give it to Ian or Nostrello to give us a more context in terms of the deliberations or the recommendations that TASTIM is making in terms of the sugar tax policy gaps, and more importantly on the sort of studies that are being presented at NEDLAC level, as well as the technical dietary study that is being undertaken by the Department of Health to look at the interventions around the sugar tax, and noting for a fact that we are quite aware of the frustrations around this, but we appreciate the fact that the sugar tax increase has been delayed for another year, which gives more opportunity to the industry to look at the diversification, projects. Nostrello, can I give it to you, Madam? That is the work of task team number 7. Or Ian, let me just give it to Ian. I can see Ian is on the call. Ian? Through you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Shield.
Ian is a convener. Yes, just to indicate, Ian is a convener for task team number 7 that deals with sugar and tax policy. Ian, over to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. With your indulgence, I'll allow the ED of the Beverage Association, also a member of the Task Team 7, to speak to this point. If he's able to, that would be Mbo.
Is Mbo on the platform? Can you just unmute so that we can see if he's here? Yes.
Thank you. Mr.
Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Quickly, thank you for the opportunity to talk to this issue. We've been doing quite a number of we've been involved in quite a number of initiatives to make sure that our industry plays an active role in helping with the problems experienced by the sugar industry in particular. We have made commitments to procure our sugar locally. We have committed to increasing our local procurement of sugar to 95% in the third year of the implementation of the Sugar Master Plan. We have actively taken giant strides in this role. We have taken membership with Proud South African. Our industry is now a member of Proud South African to ensure that we take keen interest and active participation in resolving the issues experienced as a result of mainly the sugar, the HPL. We are hoping that, Chair, that the Department of Health will come on board in engaging us and allowing us an opportunity to state our case, including the National Treasury, because we don't seem to be getting an active participation from their side in our platforms to come and share with us what the critical data relating to the impact of the real impact of sugar tax has been. We have presented to them, and I think we now need to share that study with the portfolio committee. If the portfolio committee hasn't received that study, there was a study conducted by NEDLAC on the socioeconomic impact of the sugar tax in its first year of implementation. Needless to mention, Chair, that the results are not appetizing, we see that report stating that there were about 16,600 job losses directly linked to the sugar tax. So we then therefore, Chair, continue to participate and pledge all our what's needed as a sector in as far as helping this situation, Chair. We were expecting, Chair, by now that we would have received from the Department of Health a total dietary intake study, which was one of the commitments that were made when the sugar tax was implemented, to say if there are any adjustments to be made in future in as far as the sugar tax is concerned, that those adjustments should be backed by a scientific study. So the total dietary intake study is supposed to come with the results that say, what are the dietary intakes? What are the dietary patterns of South Africa, or of South Africans? What are the drivers of obesity and non-communicable disease? And we shared the results and debate based on that, on science directly linked to the South African dynamics, not what we read about what's happening in America and many other parts of the world. So we're still waiting for that study, Chair. We hope that study will be conducted and finalized, and we are roped in the process of deliberating on the results and paving a better way forward in addressing the issues around non-communicable diseases. We are, however, deeply concerned as well, Chair, that we don't seem to be getting the same level of support from National Treasury. That doesn't seem to be in support or in alignment with the Sugar Master Plan. They don't seem to be recognizing the Sugar Master Plan to a point we've seen earlier this year when Treasury decided to unilaterally go ahead and deviate from the agreement emanating from the Sugar Master Plan, and they announced the increase of the sugar tax, which was eventually reversed after a number of engagements. So we are quite concerned that there's no alignment or communication between various departments as to what needs to happen in as far as HPL is concerned. One department knows that this should happen, the other department doesn't know what should happen. So that's basically what our concerns are, and we hope that we will be engaged and will be included in the discussions around further adjustments or any further moratorium in as far as it relates to sugar tax. Honorable Chair, I hope I've covered ground, and I try to cover some of the elements from Honorable McPherson and Honorable Wayne Flynn on sugar tax. I think I've managed to cover some of the elements. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Paul, for that comprehensive response. But just also to indicate that in terms of the technical dietary intake study, we have engaged Department of Health. They have not yet started with that study. They are expecting that they will commission the study in this year, which is 2022. But indeed, alignment is very important, especially with the National Treasury around this critical policy, which impacts, I think, very bad in terms of the sustainability as well as jobs in the industry. And then so the health issues, I've covered them, and then but I wanted also to cover the issues around diversification. I think those are cross cutting issues that have been raised by all the members. Just to indicate that in terms of the master plan process, task team number 6 is dealing with the value chain diversification, I would say program large. And already the work that is being done by that task team has identified, in terms of the research work, 4 major project or diversification stream. And in the top priority of those diversification, project or product is a sustainable aviation fuel. So Thomas Fange will give us more details, Chair, around the aviation fuel. But more important is to indicate that the 4 major projects or diversification products that have been identified, including bioplastics, including the bioethanol project, including the sustainable aviation fuel in partnership with some of the airlines. they are at the pre-feasibility side, because it's important that we need to make sure that we thoroughly investigate. More importantly, we need to have an informed research in terms of, you know, what kind of diversification option we should look at, and more importantly, to look at the long-term and the medium-term diversification, I mean, options that we have to make sure that the industry is able to be sustainable, and also, more importantly, to ensure competitiveness in the industry. So Thomas, who is the convener for Task Team 6, will give us just a high level, I mean, a work that we have done in terms of the sustainable aviation fuel, which I see it, members, as a priority kind of, I mean, project, including, by the way, the engine repurposed project, which is going to focus at the ethanol, I mean, program. So that is basically around the downstream value chain, downstream diversification proposals that are being made, which are going to be adopted by the Executive Oversight, I mean, Council. Thomas, can I hand over to you about the SAF as well as the PLA, Dr. Gavner, if you are able to assist there in terms of that work of that task team. Thanks, Chair and members.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just to give an update on Task Team 6. Thank you, Chair. I will proceed. Just to give an update on Task Team 6, it is critical, and that's also my view, and it was raised by many honourable members today, that diversification is key to the industry. Without diversification, Chair, we are going to carry on fighting for milling capacity, because I think it was mentioned earlier that 2 million tonnes of sugarcane will not be crushed this year. Last year we had 2.6 million tonnes of sugarcane that weren't crushed. So, and that's largely because two sugar mills have closed, and we are trying to deal with a future that includes other products other than sugar, so that the industry can get out of ICU and into a more sustainable future. So, Chair, I hope members can see that. This booklet was printed and published by the WWF, World Wildlife Fund, and Boeing. And, Chair, it was released at a conference, and I believe a number of the members on the call were also at that conference 2 weeks ago at Oatambo. And, Chair, the booklet highlights that sugarcane molasses is the most cost-effective product that one can use for sustainable aviation fuel. Chair, I also don't need to remind members today that Oatambo is facing a critical shortage of aviation fuels as we speak. And yesterday on BBC, there was actually a documentary around Africa facing the shortage. So, Chair, it couldn't have come at a better time. This is the future. To deal with the subsidies, various countries and continents are enforcing sustainable aviation fuel into the future as they push towards a 2050 carbon neutral economy in the airline sector. And, Chair, this is going to be a mega trend. We can work with this as the sugar industry. And the fastest way and the best way, Chair, to do transformation is if there are alternative products and if there's sustainable funding in the industry to drive that, Chair. And that's why I'm so passionate about this SAF, as the DTIC has mentioned. It is really the future for the industry, that we need to get into products that are not sugar and molasses only, but sustainable. And that's what Task Team 6 is driving towards. So, Chair, what we can do to accelerate this process is for funding to be made available so that we can finalize the pre-feasibility study and the feasibility study, and that we can find investors who are willing to go into this very exciting new industry into the future. So, Vanessa, I hope that answered the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And, thank you.
Okay, shall we give an opportunity to Dr. Govender?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Dr. Govender, Dr. Governor to cover the other, I mean, downstream products, the PLA as well as the sugarcane juice and the engine repurpose project in terms of some of the diversification projects that we are proposing around the value chain diversification program for the industry. Thanks, Chair and members.
Chair, sorry, Tandawaka here from SAFTA. If I can just report that Dr. Marilyn Govender is attending another industry meeting at the moment, so she's not available in the meeting to make further comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Back to you, Ms. Crowley.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Just to indicate that in terms of the slide 15, the slide that looks at the value chain diversification, we have proposed some of, I mean, the projects that we'll be focusing on. And again, some of the impediments in terms of, I mean, the questions from Honorable Wayne, it's the funding issue which is being discussed, and we have approached IDC to assist with the pre-feasibility study. But more importantly, I think we still need to sort out the issues of regulation. So bioplastic is one of the projects that is on the, I mean, priority list for diversification, as well as the bioethanol, I mean, project. So the discussions are ongoing in that regard. And then so that means that we have covered, I think, the questions from Honorable Wayne. And then I think in terms of the role of beverages, I mean, or the industrial users, I think they are participating in the downstream diversification, as you would know that they are looking at quite a number of, you know, products to support in terms of, I mean, the diversification of the industry. Products that are related to, I mean, the sugar products, as you know, that they are not allowed to use, I mean, sugar in terms of, I mean, their products, especially beverages. So some of the study that is being done will also look at those options, but more importantly, the study that is being done by beverages company, including the confectionaries, to support the diversification, I mean, a program of the sugar industry. And then that also looks to the issues around the Sugar Act legislation of 1978, which already, as I've indicated, there's a provisional, I mean, regulations in place which are expiring now in 2024, and amendments are underway, which, I mean, already the industry has commenced with that. I think we've got Judith there in terms of the amendment of the regulations, but Judith, I will give you only 1 minute around the new amendments in terms of the Sugar Industry Act as well as the SASA Constitution. So I'm almost done with the questions. I'm hoping that I'm not taking much of the time.
The amendment. No, we are still good on time.
Oh, perfect.
Who's Judith?
Judith Wilson. She's leading a task team that is the amendments of the Sugar Act legislation that includes the Sugar Industry Agreement as well as SASA Constitution. Thanks, Member.
Ms. Wilson.
Honourable Chair, I do apologise for messing you around, but I must ask if one of my colleagues who's better educated on this matter be asked to respond. Executive Director of SASA, Trix Trickham, please.
Thank you. Can you unmute so we can see him on?
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Chair, the amendments to the sugar industry agreement is being considered within the industry. We've only made a start now. So we do have transitional provisions in the agreement that expire or come to an end at the end of March 2024, and we are committed to make amendments and submit to the DTIC for approval well before that date. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Does that conclude your responses, Ms. Mushawi?
I will just deal with, I think, the questions, honorable members from Honorable Buyane, in terms of, I think there's a question around the daily rateable deliveries. I think the issue there is around the fact that the industry is finding difficult to crush the whole, I mean, cane that is delivered, as I think Thomas has indicated, some of the challenges that the industry is faced with. But the question is, what is the solution? Because along the way, the farmers, they are losing money, especially the small-scale farmers that are delivering to those, I mean, sugar mills. And they're losing money in that regard. So I think one of the solutions will lie, Madam Chair, with the regulations, amendments of the regulations, so that in terms of the cane that is delivered, we are able to prioritize the small-scale farmers the same way that we are prioritizing the small-scale farmers. I'm hoping, Mr. Suresh Naidu, I've covered that issue. If you think that there's additional issue that we can do in terms of the daily rateable deliveries for sugar cane to make sure that our farmers, they don't suffer. As I think as I've indicated earlier on, I think the presentation that made by DDG Larato, that one of the challenges of the industry is around the shrinking milling capacity. The industry cannot crush all the cane at the same time. So some of the issues are related to the decline in performance of the some of the milling companies are milling plants, and that are related to the issues around cost drivers, including electricity, issues around wage increases, issues around, you know, the general performance of the milling company. So the issue around milling companies, to get more milling companies, especially the small-scale milling company, I think from Honorable Nzwaki, that is a good suggestion that we should look at in terms of the master plan, how to make sure that support the milling of the cane. And then there are issues around the transformation regulations to allow for transformation. Are we talking about the permanent transformation, or are we talking about the temporal transformation? I will leave that question mainly with the industry, especially Poshia, because you are needing quite a lot of interventions in terms of transformation. But just to indicate that the industry already is busy with the transformation plan. But more importantly, before the master plan process, already the industry has made commitments in terms of the transformation of the industry. Hence, we're talking about the 1 billion rand to assist with the transformation. But we need to make sure that there's a permanent transformation in the industry. More importantly, ownership in terms of land, ownership in terms of land, ownership in terms of mills, especially by the black players. So that is what the plan in terms of the transformation, I mean, plan that is being proposed has to look at going forward. But let me just give it to Poshia, Chair, around this very important issue, which is dealing with the transformation of the industry. Poshia, can I...
didn't you miss Mr. Naidu to speak on, I think, because you first mentioned Mr. Naidu, to check whether you've covered at the beginning of your response.
The issue of the daily rateable deliveries.
Yes.
We can cover both, yes, the daily rateable deliveries as well as the issue around the transformation, which is championed by SASA.
Okay, so Portia or Naidu.
Yes. We can give it to Naidu and then
okay.
And then Portia. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, members.
Can that person just unmute so we can see that they are on the platform, Mr. Naidu? Okay, I think let's go to Portia.
Portia, yes.
Okay.
Portia Mpofu. Portia?
Ms. Mpofu? There we go. Over to you, Ms. Mpofu.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, in the honorable members. Thank you, Mr. Mhlawuli. We are dealing with transformation issues in the industry. At this stage, we have appointed a transformation specialist that will assist us to develop a medium to long-term strategy, which obviously builds on the basis and the foundation that was built by the industry together with this portfolio committee under the leadership of Ms. Fabs. We are looking at transformation across the value chain, and in the next 2 to 3 months we should have a draft, but it is work in progress, and we will be giving an update should when the next committee sits and when invited to do so.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mufrauli.
Thanks, Pushia, and thanks, Honourable Members. The questions from Honourable Mwatsi around the climate change, I think the question is around what have we done in terms of looking at the impact of climate change and the measures to protect the sugar industry. I must indicate that this is a very important work that is being done by the sugar cane in terms of the crop diversification program, but more importantly to look at investigations around the impact of climate change to the sugar industry. And there are, I think, quite a number of measures I think the industry can look at as a proposal, I think, from my side, which are going to be discussed by Task Team number 6. And as some of the, for example, some of the proposals are mainly around, can we look at, for example, support, especially as a result of, I mean, the disaster that has affected, the farmers. And I think Member Magala spoke about the support that has been provided already, the fact that Minister Didiza, she is on the ground to make sure that farmers are being supported. And I think Member Magala has talked about the issues around infrastructure support, technology, and so on and so forth. But more importantly, I think we need to look at the long-term planning around the climate change, and more importantly, to make sure that the industry is able to have, I think, some measures in place to protect it against, occurrences. But let me give it to Thomas, Funke, just to give us a context as part of the crop diversification, a study that is being done by BFEP to look at the alternatives, crop diversification, projects, but more importantly, how best can we address the issue of climate change. Thomas, are we able to do this study in the near future to look at the climate change part of the Sazri, intervention?
Mr. Funk?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. That is absolute priority. I think the recent floods have highlighted the vulnerability of not just our infrastructure in the sugarcane area and I guess KZN as a whole, but also of the farming enterprises, especially small-scale farmers, and how they have set up their farms and their operations and how vulnerable they are to these climatic events, which in future will just become more. So, Chair, as part of the aviation fuel study, we will be looking at sustainable practices, because we just need to note that for SAF, it's all about the S. It's all about the sustainability of the cane farming operations for that fuel, and that's what the world is needing. Chair, so as part of that study, there will be a lot of focus on mitigating measures in terms of certification of your sugar cane in order to ensure that it is produced in a sustainable way. And that links into a risk mitigation around climate change. So hopefully that answers the question, but there will be a lot of focus on climate change into the future.
Thank you very much. I apologize. It seems as if I'm experiencing network problems. Ms. Mkhawli, over to you.
Thanks, members. I think our honourable Deputy Minister Gina has covered the issues around, access to land, especially for the small-scale farmers. As you know, that these issues are part of the mandate of BELRAT. Thank you, Honorable Gina, for covering those issues. But more important, I think you've covered very well the issue of release of land, especially for the small-scale farmers. As you would know that in terms of the sugar industry, 90% of the land now is still under the large-scale producers and 10% under the small-scale producers, especially when you talk about high-potential agricultural land. So this is supposed to be part of the land reform program, which is currently being led by the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. I will not cover issues around the continental free trade area. I think Claudia should be able to respond to such issues. Let me give it to Claudia quickly, Madam Chair. I think those are some of the issues that have been raised by Honorable Maletra. Claudia, the issue around the continental free trade area and the rules of origin, but I think partly I've covered in terms of the SACO harmonization program and the proposals that are being put forward, especially around, I think, the Mauritius as well as Eswatini harmonization, harmonization program.
Claudia?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good afternoon to all the honourable members. Thank you very much for the question posed on the African Continental Free Trade area. I think the issues of the SACO harmonisation have been covered. Maybe just to add that we have had initial engagements with Eswatini, and that we have agreed to create a mechanism through which a common approach to sugar will be developed, including the development of regional value chains related to sugar, which would be in line with the SACO work program. So that is work that is undergoing, and it has been agreed that the first meeting would take place in June. On the African Continental Free Trade Area, Chairperson, the rules of origin on sugar, which is Chapter 17, there are 17 broad tariff lines. Seven of these have been agreed, and that is mainly on raw sugar that have been agreed, and we've agreed under the AFCFTA that those must be wholly obtained in order to be able to benefit from the AFCFTA preferences. Some of the key lines that remain outstanding are lines relating to other sugars, such as those that are including chemically or pure lactose, sugar confectionery, and molasses. So those are the tariff lines on which we have not agreed on rules of origin, and the AFCFTA ministers of trade have agreed that this work should be expedited to be concluded by the end of September 2022, with the overall directive that the rules that we agree on the AFCFTA must encourage or provide a platform for the creation of regional value chains, and they must incentivize investment in our economies so that we can increase beneficiation and our production base on the continent. So it is expected that that work would be concluded by the end of September, as directed by the Ministers of Trade. And of course, on this basis, we would be able to finalize the tariff schedules for the liberalization of trade under the AFCFTA. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Member.
Thank you. Ms. Mhlaoli.
Thank you, Chair. I'm hoping I'm still on time in terms of, I mean, the responses, Chair.
Yes, you have time still. You may continue.
Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Members. There's a question around, again, from Honourable Maletra around the inclusion, especially on the broader participation of Black people. I think it's a competition, I mean, study or that is a study that has been commissioned by the Competition Commission. The Transformation Task Team is going to deal with those issues. Portia has alluded to the issue around the transformation plan that is being proposed by the industry, which I think the study will be completed towards the end of and it will definitely deal with the issues of the broader participation of black people, especially along the value chain, including the milling section of the industry, the industrial, I mean, side of the industry. So especially in terms of the ownership as well as, I think, the land issues. I think those, I mean, from are the questions from Honorable Malecha, and then Honorable Motaung, I think there's a question around the 19,188 black sugarcane farmers that have been supported and 44 million rands that has been allocated, I think, in 2020 and 2020. What has been the impact there? I think one of the work that needs to be done by the task team 4, which is dealing with transformation, will be to look at the impact study around, I think, the allocation of funds, especially the transformation funds that we've talked about, the 200 million that was allocated in 2021 and 2022. So the industry has indicated that they'll be able to share that information with you, and the study is underway as we speak to look at the impact of that, I mean, billion rands, including, by the way, the 44 million that has been allocated to 19,188 black farmers. Poshia, are you able to give more details around the 19,188 black farmers? Oh, sorry, let me give it to Member Madlala. Member Madlala?
Apologies, I wasn't, I didn't catch that one. What am I answering on?
Yeah. The 19,188 black farmers that have been supported through the Transformation Fund, 44 million rands. I'm talking about the Transformation Fund. Yes.
All right, thank you, Chair. Thank you, thank you, Chair. That intervention was introduced in light of small-scale farmers, the payment model in the industry is such that we are paid, all small or commercial farmer paid the same rate per ton in terms of the agri price. But we raised the concern that the cost of production for small scale farmers is higher than that of a commercial farmer. So by that model alone, the small scale farmers fall on the cracks. They fall on the way because their income could not cover their operational costs. So this intervention was introduced to then as a top-up payment. In fact, it's split into two now with the additional funds that have been put into that intervention. There's one that enhances their payment during the season, and then there's one also paid end of November. So there's 87 million split into 44 plus 43. It goes to small-scale farmers to assist their cash flow crisis because their cost of production are always higher than that of commercial farmers. Their feathers from the mills in terms of transport, they are also, it costs them more in terms of the access to inputs as well as the actual operations because they rely on contractors. This is a difficult part even as far as the DRD is concerned, that they are reliant on contractors to harvest their cane. So access to the mills is also one of their biggest challenges. But I'm saying that intervention was brought in to assist the cash flow of small-scale farmers. It has had significant impact, just like what the premium price has done. Obviously, we are trying to tailor-make now something that will be a long-term, not something that will be coming as interventions, but something that will be a long-term in terms of the payment model. There's this IGUSASA task team that the industry has actually delegated responsibility to deal with the long-term sustainable payment model for small-scale farmers. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Madlala, for that, I mean, response. And now coming to the questions from Honorable Mzwaki, I think there's a question around, again, the daily rateable deliveries. I want to give more responses around this issue. And I know methods in terms of task team number 3, especially to support the small-scale growers around the challenges that they have on the milling issues, especially when they have to deliver their cane, and some of the milling companies unfortunately cannot mill or crush their sugar cane on time. I know regulations are going to address this issue, but I think as part of task team number 3, we have requested that they need to look at this issue and mainly to propose, I think, recommendation to the executive oversight so that this issue can be addressed, because it means that farmers, they are losing money along the way. way. Members, can I give it to you, the issue around the shrinking milling capacity as well as the rateable deliveries of sugar canes by small-scale farmers?
Yes, thank you, Mrs. McCarthy. Honourable Chairperson, these are issues which I think the millers should also come in with, because when the sugar industry agreement was first developed, challenges were not clearly seen in this direction. And now what we are doing is we do have a survey to investigate, inquire into this and how best we can address it. But first of all, I think with the millers, what the small cane growers didn't want is just to rely on the kindness of a milling company to say, we'll crush your cane. They wanted it to be clearer. On the other hand, there was a recognition that when you legislate things, it's very difficult to tweak them afterwards. But I believe that we are beginning to converge. That is, on the one side, the millers, on the other side, the cane growers, which includes SAFTA. But we do need to understand that while commercial growers can withstand the rateable deliveries, the small cane growers just simply don't have the cash flow. So we need a far more systemized approach, and which is why some members did want to see this amended in legislation itself. But I do suggest we also approach the millers on this and also the small cane growers. I see Dr. Siyabonga's hand is up.
Dr. Matlala.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is a thorny issue to us, Chairperson. As I've indicated that last year, though exacerbated by the unrest maybe, that over almost 200,000 tons of small-scale farmers' cane could not be crushed. What the daily rateable delivery does is that it takes the milling season, okay, it takes a total tonnage for the season that you're going to deliver and divide it according to the milling season in terms of the days that you can deliver your cane. So it works perfect for commercial farming because it leaves you with economic activities that, or rather efficient activities to deliver your cane throughout the milling season every day according to your allocation. But it is impossible for small scale farmers to deliver cane according to that dispensation and according to that legislation. The legislation currently leaves the risk with the small scale farmers that if you do not deliver cane, there is nothing to fall back on because the legislation currently favors a commercial farmer. And the debate we are having at an industry level is that they are contrary to it. There's a worry that millers feel that they may be left to risk because then if they don't crush the small-scale growers' cane, it would mean then they can be sued or anything like that. But I think what we have currently protects commercial farmers as well as millers at the expense of small-scale farmers. In fact, we just term it, it's an exclusionary clause because just by virtue of that clause, the 200,000 tons of cane that was not delivered last year means some thousands or hundreds of households which never received their cane check and could not participate even in the transformation interventions we're talking about. Whilst the 90% has enjoyed and celebrated, but we cry for this 10% because that's how they fall out of their business. If you don't deliver a stick of cane in a season, how do you pay for your yearly expenses of even having that cane in the first place? So there's also a higher risk of that cane being bent out of season for the small-scale farmer. They're farming on communal land. It could be grazed by cattle. So there's a higher risk for them to even carry out over any cane. So what we are appealing for is a change of legislation to be in favor of small-scale farmers. Protect the weak. Currently, the law protects the strong that can negotiate for themselves. The weak are left destitute. And that's what I'm saying. For this one, we can't be really negotiating it because it's a transformation. Decision that has to be made here to protect the most vulnerable. Let the commercial farmers then find a way to work around the legislation that will be pro and protecting small-scale farmers. So this is why we are inviting intervention because if we leave it to chance, last year we did that. We left it to the good heart and the goodwill of commercial farmers and the millers. 12,000 tons are still left in the countryside and never crashed. So we need a direct and deliberate intervention, just like how we got the recognition of SAFTA. The contrary to it would be to leave it to the willingness. And what happens if there's no willingness? Then that means the cocoa will be left destitute and no one will be protecting them. That is why it can't be left to industry alone. And we would appeal on that's why we wrote to the portfolio committee, we wrote to the minister to intervene on this one, because if it's left to us, the status quo remains. And so as long as it remains, it doesn't affect the commercial farmer nor the miller, but the small-scale farmer remains at risk. And come year end, there'll be those farmers who will be crying that they never delivered anything. So that is why we are not taking it lightly. Indeed, there's an industry process, but it can take 2 years and 3 years if anyone vetoes it and never agrees to it. So we can't allow for that situation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
This is a very hot topic, members. Yes, it is a hot topic, but I must indicate that we are dealing with it in terms of the different, customs, especially the custom that is looking at the restructuring of the industry, custom number 8, as well as custom number 3, which is small-scale grower support master plan, which is led by both the SASA as well as NEFAP. So definitely, I see the regulations, amendments of the regulations is the only way in terms of resolving this issue, as it actually talks to the transformation of the industry. But if there's any inputs maybe from the millers around this issue of the shrinking milling capacity, especially at the time where farmers, they are really in need to make sure that their sugarcane is crushed timeously. I'm not sure, Rolf, do you want to add from the miller side anything? I know for a fact that this issue is under discussion, but let me through your permission give it to Rolf from the milling company.
Mr. Lutke.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it certainly is a bit of a thorny issue. Perhaps some context will also assist with the debate and perceptions of this particular problem. Firstly, it doesn't affect all millers. It only affects about 3 or 4 of the 14 mills. The rest have got solutions in place. And the number of small growers and the tonnage involved is comfortably handled. The second point I want to make is everybody agrees, including millers, that no individual grower can deliver ratably. It's simply not possible. So we're all on board with that and we all agree with that point. The challenge comes in when groupings of small growers need to be allocated delivery tonnages. And how to get that into the mill in years such as this, where we have exceptional rain, exceptional weather, and new varieties that are doing very well. If we go back over the past decade, this wasn't a problem because the dry weather meant that all millers needed all the cane out there. So it's a periodic issue, and no doubt in future years the problem would go away. The third point is that those few millers who are grappling with this point have to deal with logistical challenges, cane quality issues, and also the risk of downtime in the event that they have to deal with large quantities of small grower cane that isn't delivered in a controlled manner. Now, of course, the expectation is that the mill group boards would ensure that it is delivered in a controlled manner, but the current proposals on the table don't address that, and those issues need to be sorted out. In addition, there is a clear and obvious creation of liability for millers if the proposed changes were simply adopted. Millers have to take that into account. They can't create liabilities that create problems on the one hand, but provide solutions to small-scale growers on the others. So that balance has to be found, and we simply aren't there yet. I think finally, there's certainly a willingness to find a solution to this problem. We certainly understand the problem that lack of ratability creates. We feel there are solutions that can be considered other than legislative changes, and these include putting any small grower who isn't able to deliver his cane into pocket for that. And there are various options that we're discussing. But I don't think the intention today is to go into the detail other than to ensure the portfolio committee that the matter is being looked at, it is being taken seriously, and hopefully we can find a solution.
Mr. Fung, did you want to add? I saw your hand.
Chairperson, thank you. I just wanted to say exactly what Mr. Litka said. And okay. I believe there is a process underway that will find a solution immediately. And the legislative changes might take a lot longer than that. So we'll be quite positive about it.
Yeah, because I think we do need to find a solution, because I also heard Mr. Litka saying that we're not there yet, you know. So I think members have spoken on time frames and giving the committee some comfort in saying where you think you are in those plans. I see, is it Dr. Sibiya?
Thandwa, yes, dear Chair.
Okay.
Thank you so much. No, I just want to make a follow-up comment as well, Chair, from the SAFTA side. There is a letter that we wrote to you, Chair, and the Portfolio Committee about this matter, in which we were detailing the frustration that we've had in the industry around this matter of rateable deliveries for small-scale farmers. We've discussed the matter in various structures, council, mill group boards, the committee. There is a committee within SASA that's called the Amendments to the Sugar Industry Agreement. There's nothing that has been agreed right now. So I cannot sit here and agree that there is a solution that is being crafted, because that's not the case. As we speak right now, small-scale farmers, they forfeited a revenue of $95 million last season. Nobody in the industry is talking about that as to how we're going to assist these small-scale farmers. So it is not true that there is something that is being worked out. And I also do not agree with the assertion that the legislative change will take too long. That is not the case. Here we're talking about regulation, Chair, the Sugar Industry Agreement of 2000, that the minister can just, in a stroke of a pen, tweak a clause or two to allow for small-scale growers not to be subjected to the DRDs, and making sure that their sugar cane is crushed in any given season. Whether that affects all millers or some of them, but those who are affected, they are a large number, and it affects a lot of households on the countryside. And it's not something that you cannot just brush aside easily and say, no, there's a solution, it doesn't affect everybody. I do not agree with that sentiment, Chair. We need an urgent solution for this, otherwise our farmers are going to suffer again this season.
Thank you, Dr. Magala. We do have your correspondence. We're busy processing it. So it's not as if we are ignoring your request. So we will come back to SAFTA on that matter. But I think it's good for us to hear everybody's voice as a portfolio committee on these matters. So thank you for your input also. Ms. Mflauli?
Thank you, honourable members and honourable chair. I think the last, questions were from honourable staff, which have comments. I think EDG will deal with them, like time frames, which are very important in terms of the implementation of the master plan. That we also need to look at the impact study on the sugar tax. We will definitely look at that. And then I think there was quite a detailed explanation around the biofuels program and some of the diversification, options that we are proposing. And then the question around the expropriation of land, I think that is a question that is related to Belgrade. And unfortunately, they are not here with us. But I think Deputy Minister has managed to cover those issues around land, especially the issues around access to land for the land farmers. Thanks, Chair. Can I then hand
over to my DDG, DDG Lerato, just to sort of respond one or two questions and sum it up, and then thereafter back to the Deputy Minister. Thank you so much. I think conveners for, comprehensive, responses. I must indicate that, Chair, without these conveners, this work would have been very tough, I think, for us, but with the cooperation from private sector, from business, as well as the SASA and the industrial users, they are making our work very easy in terms of implementation of this master plan. As you would know, master plan is the social compact. We need to make sure that we work with all the partners in the sugar industry to resolve some of the immediate as well as long-term challenges that the industry faces. Thank you so much, honorable members and chair, as well as Deputy Minister. I'll hand over back to the DDG Lerato. Thanks.
As we hand over to the DDG, I just wanted you, we also received correspondence from the South African Sugar Converters Association. I know that they are not part of your delegation here today, but in their correspondence to us in asking, requesting to meet with the portfolio committee, they spell out their challenges, which is the high cost of sugar. So, that's all part of the value chain of sugar. And I think, we're looking at job retention and job creation. I think we must, in our next discussion, just bring the sugar converters also into the presentation and hear what their challenges are. Over to you, DDG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I was actually going to make a comment with the overall closing observations. But I think to respond to Honorable Zwaku's concern, very, very valid concern around whether or not we've got timelines. We do have a 12-month work program that we've set for ourselves, a summary of which is in the last two slides of the presentation. So hopefully that will give some sort of guidance of what we plan to conclude in the short space of 12 months. It's quite an involved work program that will be led by the different task teams and will be guided by the different conveners. So I thought let me make that quick observation. And thank you, Chair, for raising some of the other concerns that are coming from industry. We'd certainly appreciate having them so that we can deal with a number of industry concerns under the master plan structures and also under the Executive Oversight Council, which then brings in political leadership as well from the different departments and other industry bodies to resolve the issues. So we'd certainly welcome having a sense of those issues and responding through the master plan task team and EOC structures. Thank you very much, Chair.
I see Honorable Nswaku saying that there's two questions that are not answered. Which two questions are those, Honorable Nswaku?
No, thank you, Chair. There was a critical question of saying that what is the view in terms of the view of actually using a smaller mill rather than probably having that one day. What is their view? Are they intending, like as an immediate, the solution? Because I can hear Mr. Thomas Fouke and Yago Arin Lukte. They're just like playing games and they're trying to dilly-dally around the issue. They're the problem. They are saying that I'm trying to give a solution instead of
being at the big meeting. Okay, instead of taking us through, just highlight the two questions. I didn't want to open up another debate now.
And then the other question was to say, on the diversification, what is their thing is, what is in there for the small-scale farmers? I didn't actually get that.
Okay, they did speak about diversification, but not with a specific focus
the small-scale
on
farmers, yes.
Okay, can I just ask DDG, as you are wrapping up, if you can... just cover those two issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Sokhu. On the issue of small-scale farmers broadly, I think part of our work program includes doing a full survey of the needs of small-scale farmers, and we want to draft a strategy and a clear program of action that will be very multifaceted to address the needs of small-scale farmers. So issues of diversification that we're talking about today will have to be covered. So I think it's part of the ongoing work that we have set for ourselves for the 12-month program. So I would be getting ahead of ourselves, as it were, Honourable Chair, if we begin to kind of posit answers, so we are busy finalizing the program of action and the support strategy so that we can have a sustainable solution and sustainable intervention for small-scale farmers. I think to reiterate the Minister and the Deputy Minister's sentiment that small-scale growers are fundamental to the industry. Basically, they're the foundation. So with that principle in mind, we are looking at a clear support strategy for the long term. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I hand over to the Honourable Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Hello, I think someone wants to come in. I'm not sure whether should I continue.
Yes, Ms. Ntuli, did you want to speak before the Deputy Ministers? It's just that I was allowing the Ms. Mshauli to point out who must respond.
Okay, thank you very much, Slalo. No, I just wanted to add something as also a grower before a deputy minister, and I thought it even before the DG, Ms. Lerato. No, Madam Slalo, thank you now, Deputy Chair, Habatonisha, and all the stakeholders, Matabano Mbuto. I just wanted, because I'm also part of the meeting, my name is Ipuo Tuli, previously advantage farm, black farmer. I'm also a small farmer and also a member of King Grower. I'm also farming the rural area of Mpolozi in the Ingonyama Trustland, and it has challenges because no financial institution can render you as a farmer any financial assistance because you don't have into a PTO. And also, I think I would also like to welcome into a sugar industry master plan. But I feel that it is moving at a very slow pace. However, if it was moving faster, maybe now some of our small scale growers could be reaping the benefits of being of the master plan. And the food to umuntu ngoba uye listening, I would also like to thank the comments on Agababu Mbuyane, the Honorable Mr. Mbuyane on sugar tax, and also accepting our invitation. And after all the challenges we had of COVID-19, small-scale growers, unrest flour, and the sugar tax, of which we don't need no exemption, it's really good. It needs a lot of departments, but at the end of the day, we need its eradication because it's destroying jobs of our people. And the other thing now we are facing is the issue of Ukraine versus Russia, which has affected growers maybe indirectly. It is indeed causing havoc because the price of the inputs, which are fertilizers, has hiked like, I don't know, which will result in low production because we can't afford to buy the fertilizer. And the fuel price has also made it very difficult to cultivate. In instances like this, we always support local, always say local is like
And again, on the comments of Honorable Mpini, I think time is very limited on this platform. Hence, as can go us, we have extended the olive branch and invited and the portfolio committee to our offices so that we can you can have insight on what actually we are doing on matters of the sugar tax and all those things which are matters of concern, which we can deliberate and come with a solution together. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ntuli. There we heard it from the horse's mouth as we speak. And the local is indeed lekker. Over to you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Ms. Ntuli.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much for all the comments, the inputs from the industry, inputs from the portfolio committee members, of which we always say we always get very informative and useful comments and suggestions and the guidance that we always need as the department. I think we all agree, Chairperson, as to say when it comes to the issues of transformation of the industry, we still have a lot to do, but there is so much again that we have done, but we need to be very much deliberate. There is so much work that I'm saying Task Team 4 needs to look at, and for me, that's one area where we did not be shy, but we all need to roll out our sleeves and say, what is it that we do to transform this industry? The broader participation of black people, really, as it has been mentioned, I think we all agree with that. When it comes to women enterprise development, as that has been mentioned, the issues of youth, that is where we need to be deliberated, I'm saying, very targeted and focused. So we truly agree with that one. On the issue of legislation, really, there's so much that has been pinpointed and highlighted, of which the portfolio committee members, and together with the department and the ministry, those are the things that we need to look at and say, what best can we do to change wherever we can change for the betterment and the beneficial of all the people that take part in this. As I'm saying again, that's the deliberate one that we need to focus on to change the lives of the people that have been previously disadvantaged. And I think also, I just want to talk to the issue of climate change, of which I think each and every day, we get a wake-up call, we learn lessons every day, and it's one area on the study that is I'm embarking on, that we need to have the direction and get into a conclusion as to say what is it that we can do in future to protect ourselves as farmers when it comes to the issues of climate change, because what we are coming from, the period we are coming from now, really, it has, as I'm saying, we are learning these lessons almost every day, and it's one area really where the studies must be done, even at the level of the department. It's the thing that we need to look at, and we are looking at, as to say what is it that we can do looking at the way climate is. And I think that one talks directly to the fact that the issue that has been raised on the silos, the manner that we work in as departments. I can say, Chairperson and the members of the portfolio committee, that yes, we might not have reached that stage where we are saying we want to reach, but I think slowly and surely we are getting into that mode of having the departments working together in making sure that we resolve some of these challenges that we are faced with. Coming to the issue of the transformation agenda, Department of Health, Department of Agriculture, DTIC, talking to Treasury, really now and again we have those meetings to say how do we approach most of the challenges and some of the challenges that we are faced with. And I can say we are really trying by all means to break down those walls that lead us to work in silos, but we fully understand and we accept that there is more that we need to do moving forward, because it even talks to the issue of
HPL, as it has been highly raised in this meeting, of which really with the departments that are concerned, we are working together as to say what is it that can be done. But the assurance as to say we're still committed to what we committed to when we started this master plan, when it comes to this 3-year plan that we are having, those commitments still stands, because at the end of the day, that is what we want to see, this industry being transformed. So for me, Chairperson, for now, is just to thank everyone that has been here, thank all the stakeholders, the role players within the industry, and saying there is a lot of things that we still need to do in making sure that we reach the stage where we want to reach to as per our master plan and the discussions and the deliberations that we always have. Very soon, as I've said, the minister, I've also said, we are going to have our executive oversight committee meeting, and we are going to be ironing out many of the issues, even of what we have started to talk to on this portfolio committee that we are in here. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to everyone, especially the honourable members of the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister, for leading this team and for leading us in this very robust and valuable discussion that we have had as portfolio committee members together with the stakeholders in the industry and with the department. We realize that we do have a lot, as you have said, Deputy Minister, we have a lot of work to do still to advance transformation in the sector. So I think as a portfolio committee, we welcome the invitation. We have not fully oversighted the sector, the sugar industry sector, because we went to, after the July unrest, we did go to Tonga, to Hewlett, but obviously that was just to assess the losses incurred in the sector during the unrest. So I think we will put it on the agenda of this committee together with the challenge to break down silos, not only between departments, but even portfolio committees of Parliament. And we will then arrange a joint portfolio committee meeting and have engagements on this presentation that we've had, and also, of course, to oversight. I think we have taken note of all the inputs made here. We know that there's a lot of hanging issues, things that we have to keep our finger on as we go forward and look forward to our next joint meeting as a portfolio committee. I think we will just keep speaking to each other. We've noted many important things such as the regulations and the legislation, the Sugar Act, etc. So thank you very much to everyone on this platform. Can I just ask our portfolio committee secretary to speak on our next meeting?
Chairperson, our next meeting is tomorrow, starting at 9 o'clock, and we will start our deliberations on the copyright amendment bill, Chair. Members receive those documentation on Friday evening. Also, we intend to formally consider the budget vote report, Chair. I'll also resend that budget vote report to members for the information, Chair. That's the program for tomorrow, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much to everyone. Have a good day further, and please be safe. Goodbye.
Goodbye, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Fabs. It was good to see you.
You too. And congratulations on your deployment.
Oh, I'm very happy.
Recording
nice
stuff.
Seeing you, Ms. Fox, again.
Congratulations to Ms. Fox. Thank you, Ms. Fox.